everyone, guess what? It's us at Loose Lippy. It's me, Georgie Porter, and the amazing, gorgeous Sharon Carpenter. Hi.
Oh, my beautiful friend Georgie, and you beautiful listeners. How are you guys doing? It's always good to be back. Full show for you today. We're excited.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Right, Sharon, you might not know him in England, but I just can't get over this because someone has been being full-on naughty in the UK. So we've got this guy, right, Matt Hancock, right? And he's now like health secretary, right?
Okay.
And he got found out on a CCTV cheating on his wife with his like secretary woman.
Oh, how cliche.
And it's so gross. Now, the video that I sent you, now you can understand who he is.
You did send me the video. I'm like, what is happening here? I was just glad that it didn't go past the butt grab. I was starting to get uncomfortable.
It could have been worse. And like, I'm uncomfortable with him. He's a bit of a creep. Like, I don't know what she's thinking. What do you think on this? Because it's all the government. You know, he's the guy who's been telling us to, you know, space, face, do not go into different households. And obviously, he has been sneaking around different households. And he has literally made us all be like, what the F?
Yeah, and doing a lot more than sneaking around. I mean, first of all, it's never a good thing to have an affair, right?
No.
That right there is terrible, terrible idea. Secondly, having an affair at work with your secretary in the time of the Me Too movement. Where have you been?
I love your take on these things.
Like,
yes.
Come on, I thought you were supposed to be smart. Not you, him. like, crazy. And then thirdly, it's like you're going around telling people what they can and can't do, and you are not even taking your own advice. I think that's appalling. And you said he's been fired, right? He's no longer in that position.
Well,
respect him after that.
Exactly. But none of us really respected him anyway. We all kind of joked about how much of a, like, you know, weirdo when he was running and stuff. People would take memes. I mean, memes are pretty bad as it is sometimes, but you know when you think, whoa, we have no respect for him generally. And also Boris, our prime minister, didn't sack him. He kind of was just like, oh, that's the private life sort of thing. So he resigned. Really?
Well, it's not a private life when it's happening at work and when it's with your secretary. That's not, and it's not, and especially when it goes viral, that's not so private anymore, is it?
It's so viral. It's so viral that you cannot get away from it. And all the memes and everything, like, they're pretty funny. I mean, do you know what? I feel sorry for his wife. Like, his wife has to see this through, like, publicly, which is awful and so sad. Like, why couldn't he just be a man and say, look, this is what's happening? Before she found out through anywhere else.
And she's married as well. The secretary is married as well. Is that correct?
She's married to a dashing guy who owns Olivia Bonus shops. And he's pretty fit. Like, I don't know what is going on.
So what is happening here? And have the spouses spoken out since this video came out? Are they sticking by their men and their woman? Are they getting divorced? Do we know?
I don't think we've heard much from the other sides, because I think they're just all a bit embarrassed. And, you know, there's Paps outside her house and she's just like, this is in the face. So it's a bit, it's cruel.
It's humiliating. It's really cruel. And for you to have to watch your husband of goodness knows how many years, and I'm not sure if they have kids, like grabbing up his secretary who you trusted him to work with, grabbing hold of her butt, like that is just, I can't even imagine. Wanted to see it, but I think the person who least wanted to see that was his wife.
Yeah. And do you know what as well, like, who helps people with that public humiliation, public shit? Like, how would anybody know the shame? Like,
a crisis manager, a crisis PR could potentially help on the PR side of things. But outside of that, you might need a counselor. You might need a therapist to deal with that kind of thing. I mean, the thing is, things do happen. And I think many of us have probably dealt with lesser versions of that, right? Like maybe in school or just sort of coming up, or maybe even these days where the person you were with did something inappropriate that embarrassed you. For example, I remember I had this boyfriend. I was so upset with him because we went out to a party and there was a female friend of his there who obviously didn't like me. She was so nasty to me. I was trying to be so nice. And we ended up sitting on either side of him. And she is to whisper him a story like this with her hand up. It was loud in there anyway, because it was a club and the music was playing. And she's whispering a story in his ear and laughing with her hand on his knee. The other side, after he's introduced me as, oh, this is my girlfriend, blah, 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 all excited to introduce me. And I got really upset with him about that situation. And so, you know, we've all been embarrassed by things that our significant others have done from time to time, or past significant others, you know, so we can relate to a certain extent. But hopefully, you know, these guys move on. They deserve better. I mean, who deserves that?
No, like, and also, I just look at him and I think, why that guy? It must be a power trip from her side. Like, he must be giving her an extra wage or something like that, because he's not like a sex symbol in any way.
It didn't look that to me.
No. And his book grabbing
still working there?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I should do more research on this, shouldn't I, when I get the gossip.
That's okay. It's still a fun story.
I always think as well, you know, when there's like a guy you're seeing and they end up seeing someone else and that's her forever, and you're like, oh, right, that was that then. What was I doing? Why was I dating you in that way? I feel that would always tend to happen to me, is I'd date a guy, but then the girl that they're with, who they overlap quite often as well, they've overlapped. Yeah. And I've been dating them, and then they'll be with that the next girl, and I'm always like, okay, that's cool. Like, just tell me. Like, I'm not sad. Like, I'm cool.
Yeah, exactly. Honesty is always the best policy. I've worked at companies, though, where we knew that certain people were carrying on affairs.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it was happening. We knew this person was married, or this person may have been seeing somebody else at the company, and they might have been boyfriend and girlfriend. So I've seen a lot of shenanigans take place in the workplace. And to be honest, I mean, you often see it with actors and actresses, right?
Yeah.
Like in our last full show, we were talking about a lot of actors and actresses who have got together after working together. And when you do work with somebody, that's more likely than not to be the place where you meet someone you might have an affair with, if that's the path you're going to go down.
Yeah.
Because so much time together. And then you hear people referring to their work wife or their work husband as well. Sometimes they're actually like, married in real life.
I'd want to know who this was. I'd be like, excuse me, so let me meet her. I'm going to vet this. I'm going to see what this is about. And I'll be like, I'll decide.
But sometimes you just have no idea. For example, remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it came out that he was sleeping with the maid behind Maria Shriver's back. And we knew he was, you know, a playboy, if you want to call it that.
Did we?
The maid, because he I think he had a bunch of affairs. But the thing is, I mean, we never thought for a second he was going to sleep with his maid. not to be mean, but she just didn't seem like she would necessarily be his type at all. But they were like, you know, going at it in Maria's bed and like in the couple's bed. And it's all coming back to me. To make things even worse, he had a child by the maid. And this child, you know, I believe so, if my memory serves me correctly, this child was also in Maria's life as the housekeeper's son, but it was actually Arnold's son by the housekeeper. So this is some crazy stuff.
Well, you think it happens in Hollywood as well, and it happens in the UK office.
Yes, it certainly does. It happens all over. But, you know, I hope they get over their embarrassment because it's not their fault at the end of the day, and they should be, you know, that's the thing with affairs and these sorts of things, right? The person who is innocent ends up being hurt more than anybody
else. Exactly, yeah.
Emotionally, and then also just, you know, just embarrassment-wise, humiliation-wise.
Yeah, so what have we got next? What have we got?
All right, so let's move on. Okay, to news number one. Okay, customers are fed up, I'm one of them, with COVID as an excuse for bad service. Okay, so customers are being told that they're getting poor service because of COVID. According to research, I know I've been told that firms are being accused of using the pandemic as an excuse for long waits on the telephone or late deliveries. The UK Institute of Customer Service said, and it's certainly happening over here in the US as well. It said that customers or consumers were initially tolerant of delays and other issues as businesses fought to cope with the effects of the crisis. But it said a blanket excuse was no longer sufficient. The number of complaints about poor service in the last 6 months was at its highest level since 2009, according to their survey of 10,000 people. The sectors with the biggest issues were transport, local public services such as GP surgeries, councils and police services, telecommunications as well, the survey suggests. I would have thought airlines too, to be honest. A quarter of those are said that some organizations had used COVID as an excuse for poor service. It's not cool. We're done with this. The excuse.
How long can this? Also, I feel like sometimes they ran with it that, oh, that's what's happened, and now they just got lazy thinking, well, do you know what? I liked working slow in COVID time, and now I'm just going to be like, it's COVID, but really, I'm just going to do things slower because it worked for a good few months.
Exactly. And why bring back all those employees, which is going to be more costly, when I was operating with fewer employees there to answer the phone? So what if the consumers have to be on the line for 2 hours? Isn't that the worst? I was on the phone with a company. I was trying to get through to a company to talk about something. I was on the phone so long, I forgot who I was calling. I was literally on for about an hour and a half and I couldn't remember, like, who was supposed to be on the other line.
Is this the bank or is this the gym? I forgot what I'm doing.
Is this the airline? Like, what? Was this a restaurant? I'm not even sure. Kind of like in modern times, they're supposed to tell you, you know, there are 10 callers ahead of you, or, you know, we predict your wait time to be 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, but to just, you know, play music, that really annoying music, or just silence one or the other, and you literally have no idea how long you're going to be on. And the really good companies, they will say, just leave your number and we'll call you back, right?
And then they call you back.
And then they actually call you back. Like, that's okay. Then I don't mind waiting, right? Because you're going to call me back anyway. I'm not sitting there with this, you know, really annoying music.
And it's the worst music always as well, isn't it? Why isn't it nice always. Music? Just stupid music. No,
sometimes it's the same song over and over and over again.
We will be listening. We are recording this. We will be there. Loads of bullshit. Do you know what I found is with like restaurants and stuff, like we'd go into our usual place that we love and they'd be like, oh my God, Georgie, good to see you. And then it was like, oh no, Georgie, like we don't have anything. And I thought, oh, but I'm your friend. Like I've been here forever. And it was like the
no
shutdown
more seating
of,
for you. No more special
I'm not
seating.
Special anymore. I was like, aww. I can't cope with this. But then obviously it was fair and those things. So my like complaints were quite petty of, oh my God, why are you not looking after me like you used to? But then it was because literally places got so full and literally just don't have a seat for you anymore.
They do. And especially when it was only a certain capacity, a certain percentage of capacity, yeah. And they couldn't be full. Yeah, that was definitely tougher. I told you the story a couple of weeks back, I think, about how I got my nails done and the nail tech screwed them up. I wasn't happy. Yeah. And then I was told by the receptionist to come back the next day. And she was like, you're not going to have to pay for it because we want to make sure that you're fully satisfied. When I went back the next day and had it fixed, they charged me full price. I ended up emailing the owner and she said to me, well, you know, didn't you get your nails done? Don't you like them? Why shouldn't you have to pay? I said, because I was told I wouldn't have to pay and have to come back the second time. And then she started using COVID. Oh, but COVID times, you know, it's been really rough. We're still trying to make up for everything. And I ended up feeling bad and I said, okay, good luck to you. You know, I do like my nails the way they are now. After the second time coming back, interrupting my workflow and day. But they do like to throw it out there a lot.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's real, but sometimes I think it is an excuse.
Yeah, I think now these people have to start being honest and being like, do you know what? We're just lazy, or we just can't be bothered. And you go, yeah, do you know what? I've been there. I couldn't be bothered, but let's be bothered now because we need to get our shit together.
You do, because otherwise you're going to lose those customers permanently. One bad experience and a customer might never come back. And I think I mentioned to you as well before when I got my hair done, haircut since COVID. And it was supposed to be a certain amount of money. And I go in and it's like double that. I'm like, what's going on with the price? And they were like, oh, well, we had to use, you know, like double the amount of hair color. I'm like, why? So we charged you for the extra. It's like, you didn't need to use double. And then they had some environmental cleanup fee. They had a COVID fee. They had like all these different things. That they didn't even explain, like, before I went in. Had they explained, I would have said, okay, cool, and made that decision whether I want to go or not. But no, they just add it all in at the end.
Yeah, that reminds me of times when I go for my nails in LA, or times, or like eyebrows near me, and they just do it, and then they just start going, do you want a massage? And you think, oh, this is the goodness of their heart. They're just going to do a massage for me. And then they start doing a massage, and then they start doing these extra things. And then at the end of the bill, it's like 60 quid. And you're like, that's meant to cost me £12. Like, where has this come from? And your massage with poo. It's the worst thing I've ever done. And then you can't get it back. And you're like, oh, I've been stitched up. And those kind of things anyway are sneaky, aren't they?
All the time, like they blow out your hair and they're like, oh, let me just use a flat iron on the ends. And then you go to pay, it's like an extra $40 for the flat iron.
For the
usage.
Flat
it's
iron.
Like, what?
Where? Is this
Why
on a meat?
Is this not explained to me? Exactly. So, see, I don't like businesses who operate like that because they do lose us and then we don't come back. Like, if you're just forthcoming about it, then we're more likely to come back. Okay, it's a little on the pricey side, but that's cool.
We'll do it.
But if you try to be shady behind our backs, that's a whole different story. It's bad business strategy.
Very true. So we've got news number two here. This is crazy. Okay, so influencers in Norway will legally have to disclose their Photoshop images. This is dire. Enlarged lips, pronounced muscles, and waists that have been narrowed will require declaration when the laws come into effect. Let's just straight.
What about minimized lips? What if you minimize your lips? Does that sound
I think
to be?
You have to tell them. Yeah, that's a trick. Like, what if you make yourself 60 years old? Do you have to legally say, I don't really have these wrinkles? Well, so legalization. What? How did I say that word? I'm not saying it. Legislators in Norway have announced new regulations that will make it a legal requirement for influencers and advertisers to label images that have been retouched or have had filters in a bid to address body pressure in society. The new law new law is an amendment to the 2009 Marketing Act, which was passed with overwhelming support in a 72-15 vote last month by the Norwegian Parliament. It is the latest development following years of advocacy. Why can't I read? Advocacy from young from youth groups and Norway's Ministry of Children and Family Affairs calling for stricter measures to address growing concerns around body image and mental health. There's a little bit more. Okay, so,
what I realised.
Yeah.
So, Georgie, when I first found out about this, I was completely outraged, right? Because I'm like, hold on a minute. So anyone who adjusts their photo, so if you give yourself red lipstick versus the blue lipstick you're wearing, or if you, you know, tweak anything, you have to now put that out there on social media, and it's a law, or you may even get arrested for it, but you certainly may be fined if they find out. I was completely outraged. I thought it was ridiculous. But then I realized that it's actually, if you're getting paid, so if it's paid advertising, so if you're an influencer, and let's just say you're being paid to promote the skincare line, right? And you're talking about how great your skin looks, but really you've got a filter on, or you've done like a bunch of stuff with the Photoshop, then I get it a bit more. It still seems a little harsh that you could potentially go to jail for it, but it's not like anyone who, you know, if you adjust the lighting on a picture, now you've got to state that on your Instagram. Because I think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, 99.99999% of people do play around with their pictures to make them a bit more picture perfect before they post. And the ones that don't, you can tell, and they sometimes the pictures look good.
I've used filters and things like that before. Like but also when you've done photo shoots and stuff, you don't really know, or you've never known, that the actual photographer sometimes does those things and little tweaks. And you think,
because
like it's kind of always happened. And I do get it. Mental health and young girls and things, it is soared, and it's soared through, and it's got higher, and it is very stressful for people thinking they don't look like this. And I think, you know, sometimes if I have a bag under my eye and I think, oh, the lighting's hit that wrong, let me just like get that out, because I just want to look a bit, you know, less tired today, or things like that. I think, so with that, would I be arrested for like editing out like my chapped lips? Because there's a lot of time I have a chapped lip, and I'll take a picture and I'll be like, oh, I've got like scabby lips, I'm gonna just let's just
smooth them out a little bit. Exactly. You would, if you were getting paid for the post, and if you didn't label it as, so there's sort of a one-stop shop label, I guess, like a label that they want everyone to use. I don't know if it's sort of hashtag my lips don't really look like this.
hashtag, you know, you can meet me real life, you won't recognize me.
And we know there is a lot of that on social media, but I don't think it's as blatant as that. I think it's sort of one label that they want everyone to use if the picture has been adjusted. But I think every picture has probably been adjusted. I mean, if you are taking pictures for a restaurant, right, and it's a dish, let's say it's steak, you're going to adjust that picture to make that steak look absolutely perfect. Even when you take a picture of a home and you're a real estate agent, right? I've seen them do it. They'll adjust the coloring, they'll brighten here, they'll brighten there, they'll make it look a lot better in real life than it, or in the picture, than it actually does in real life. So I see where they're going. And we've gone really far when it comes to adjusting our photos, many people, to the point where they are unrecognizable. It is having an impact on young people and young people's self-esteem. But I think that we should have more of a focus on making sure young people know that this is smoke and mirrors in other ways, and making them understand that they shouldn't be spending, all of us shouldn't be spending so much time on social media. It takes up a lot of our time. Yeah.
That is a thing, to really limit your time spent on that, like your screen time. Like, I think sometimes I can be on TikTok for hours, and as much as I'm enjoying it, I'm like, what am I doing? I need to just
Where did my 3 hours of my life just go? Yeah.
And then I've like, I've not even produced a TikTok in that time. So I've not even been creative myself. So therefore I'm like, but I enjoy it, but I limit my time with it, because I just think you can't get too hooked on, even Instagram, I'm still on that for ages. And then I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh, me too. You get sucked in. You totally get sucked in and you go down that rabbit hole. So I think that more focus needs to be put on making sure that young people maybe are trained in how to use social media and for people to know that there are smoke and mirrors going on, that a lot of these people don't look like that, but also to know that we shouldn't be so focused on our looks. You know, I say it all the time, I sound like a broken record at this point, and we should also be enjoying life and then living in the moment. People say it to me all the time, I'm at events and I'm like, no, but I gotta get the perfect picture. They're like, Sharon, just enjoy the moment. No, but it didn't happen if it's not on Instagram. So I'm certainly part of the problem. But we all need to do better. This is an interesting law. I'm glad it's not anyone who adjusts a photo and posts it could get arrested. I'm glad it's a focus on the advertising, because that would have been...
The prisons would be full of big, so many young girls, and what a different...
Probably guys as well. Guys, I mean, look what guys are doing nowadays. Yeah. As well. A lot of them
you
going
can get a six pack, put on your picture.
Surgery. Exactly. Yeah. You totally can. You can do a whole airbrushing of the picture and create a six pack if you wanted to.
Oh, don't tell me what that is. I'm going to have a big, massive shoulder, biceps, and a man body.
Now that would be funny. I want to see you post that and see the reaction from your fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's time for an ad break. So we'll be back in a second, guys.
See you in a sec.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen. Listen, bitch. Oh, listen,
make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar. I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now, because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head knocking then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
I just became a lot more productive and happier. And for me, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
We're back. Hi.
So, we're back, everyone. So this letter is from Grace. I like the name Grace. It's my mom's name. Hi, girls. Love the podcast. I'm moving in with my boyfriend of 5 years and 2 weeks. However, my really pushy parents are taking control of everything. I love them to bits. But this is our special moment and we appreciate their help. But how can we get more independence from them before the big move? Or do we just suck it up and once we have moved, we start our forever story? well, you know, I would say sit back and let your parents help. Because moving is a biatch. And I remember when I moved from the last place I lived, when I bought this place and I moved in, I actually had so much work going on. My parents came to stay with me. I went to work that day. They packed everything and moved it in vans. And then by the time I got to the new place, well, I helped them pack actually initially, but by the time I got to the new place, they had unpacked everything and everything was set up. It was awesome.
That is cute. That is the best. That is true. But and then would you feel that was pushy, or would you feel like, oh, I'm like absolutely relieved?
No, I'm like, thank you, please somebody help. I didn't find it pushy at all.
No, I'm the worst at moving. We're literally moving right now, like physically moving, and I would literally pay anyone and everyone to do things for me, because I just like, you know, when the things are so hard to do, I just lie down and nap. So that would
like,
be my
coping. I can't cope with this right now.
I just need to sleep. Oh, this is a better idea. And then hopefully when I wake up, it's kind of sorted.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's nice to have parents who want to help with that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
My parents have never been pushy. I understand that pushy parents can be a little more difficult to deal with, but still, you know, I say sit back and take some of that help. And they may have some brilliant ideas as well as far as where stuff should go. Like, our parents have lived longer than we have. You gotta listen to the parents sometimes. Yeah.
I think also if your boyfriend's a bit like, your parents are a bit too much and he can't say anything, I always think as well, because when it's other people's parents, you cannot have a say. Because if you say anything, you've not got that relationship. So you'd have to be like, can you tell your dad to stop putting furniture in the wrong place and just tell him to do that? Or like, what can you say? Like, can you tell your mum to just butt out a minute, please? I think if it is between you both, but I think sometimes you can be a bit like panicky that you think they're being too much and maybe it's too much. And sometimes it's a help. And you can think, oh, you could be overthinking it, when really you like, just go, just let him do it. Just let him be involved.
No, maybe they're a bit worried. Right.
Maybe they're scared that they're losing their baby and they're like, oh my God, we've got to look after you. And that's probably the last time they will look after you, because then you're out on your own, then you're gone.
Exactly. And I think the thing is, you know, even if it is to appease them to a certain extent, these are your parents, make them happy. And then you can do whatever you want. You can rearrange your house. You can move stuff. You can throw out the new pans that they got. Whatever it is, you can do it once, you know, once you're in there. So suck it
up. Once they shut the door. You go.
Exactly. Right. And you double
Let's
lock
take
it.
Control.
I would say just flow with it. Let them take some of the burden of you and good luck.
Yeah. Now, when I read this, I thought it was Iceland the shop. So let's just get this straight. It's not the freezer company. It's the country, Iceland. So Iceland have got a 4-day work week trial, and it was a triumph. Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yay.
A new report about a multi-year trial of a 4-day work week in Iceland are as encouraging as the results of the experiment itself. This would be my dream. The trial, which started in 2015 and involved more than 2,500 workers, showed that reducing work hours was overwhelmingly positive for people in a range of workplaces, while productivity remained about the same or improved in some cases.
I mean, interesting, right?
Yeah, like, parents said that their mornings in particular were less hectic. Many men in heterosexual relationships claimed they used their newfound time to do more housework. Who are these
Good.
People?
They're no more incredible excuses, people. Boys.
Yeah. And so several people interviewed by the researchers said that they found slack time to cut out of their schedules by truncating workplace meetings or eliminating a few entirely. If a meeting could be an email, it indeed became one. Coffee breaks were also sacrificed, or at least made less leisurely, which I don't know about at your work, but we used to have tea breaks in our company at work, where they just, they'd go like, so you'd be working in the morning and then you'd 11 o'clock, you'd go and have a tea break, where everyone would just put your work down and have like a tea break for 10 minutes.
Got it. Okay. That's a good thing. Yeah, I mean, the last company where I worked sort of all the time, we kind of took breaks, I guess, when we could. There was no real, I mean, we'd maybe head out for lunch. I mean, I didn't really, but other people would, but there was no sort of specific time or, oh, you've been away for an hour and a half. It was a bit more flexible because we all worked so hard. But what's interesting here, so you know, normally we do a 40-hour work week, right? So 8 hours a day. But what they did was they cut the work week down to 35 hours or 36 hours, which is cutting 5 hours out or 4 hours out of a work week, right? But the reason they were able to still sort of cram everything in to these 4 days is because they got rid of some of this slack time, right? Didn't take some of these breaks, as you said.
So they got rid of the breaks.
Yeah, some of these meetings they didn't have to do. So they're sending emails instead. So that's why the productivity remained the same. But if you really think about it and you kind of like look at how people are at work, not everyone, but a lot of people, there is a lot of slacking that goes on, right? Mm. I think that having a company and having a lot of people working for you is kind of a scary place to be because there are so many people who, I mean, there are a lot of people who work really, really hard, obviously, but there are a lot of people who also slack off and try to find as much slack time as they possibly can. And I've even heard people refer to Friday as a throwaway day. I'm going to purposely slow down because it's the weekend. And I get both sides, but I also get that as a boss, that's kind of,
and they usually finish at lunch.
Done.
Yeah, they'll go half a day on Friday and be like, oh, it's only Friday, it's the weekend. So then you're not going to the bone. Whereas at our work, we work side days as well at times.
Yeah.
So there's times when you don't even have an actual, and that's just like your 7 to 7 times as well. Like we can have 14-hour days and we're like, that is, but
exactly.
To be honest,
that's considered a day. It's 14 hours, but it's still considered one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can have days as well where we're just in for an hour or 2 hours max and just do the tiniest little scene. So in television work, it's different, isn't it? And like...
It's different.
That kind of thing.
It's totally different. But what you also don't see sometimes in TV work and some of these kinds of gigs is all the preparation that has to go into it. So when you go and film, right, you might be there for an hour, but you also had to study your lines. You also had to get prepared. And like when I go on Wendy, I might be there for a couple of hours getting my hair and makeup done and then going on. And it's, you know, like a 8-minute segment, but there's a lot of preparation ahead of time to be able to do it. So there are certain jobs where this wouldn't work. I do think though, I can see why this could work in certain industries and why people would have a happier life if they're working less. But, you know, us humans, right? Mm. Once we get used to a 4-day work week, what's going to happen a few years from now? Well, hold on. No, why do I have to go in that fourth day? Like, oh, Thursday's a slack day. Oh, how about a 3-day work week? You know what I mean? Like, you know how us humans are. But I think it's worth experimenting with. And a lot of companies in Iceland, I think most of the country is now offering the 4-day work experience. But then you can't have it your way all the time. Now, when you go to the shop, right, which used to be open till 9 p.m. and now it's only open till 6
on a Friday. Exactly.
Or maybe it's not open at all. You can't be upset because it's about the 4-day work week.
Yeah. Everybody's life's changed and you have to really think about it. And also Iceland is a completely different country in itself, isn't it? Isn't Iceland sometimes I love it when I'm just wrong.
Iceland, I think, has 24, doesn't it have 24 hours of daylight sometimes?
Yes.
And then 24 hours of nighttime sometimes.
And isn't it the highest suicidal place where people, it's just like probably when it's so dark all that time, you probably don't want to go to work every single day of your week. You'd be like, it's dark, I don't want to go in. So I think if it was to happen in London or New York, I don't think we'd get the same thing if we did a 4-day week. Imagine huge cities just doing a 4-day week.
Well, you know, there are, so I know, especially the huge cities, but Spain apparently is piloting a 4-day work week for certain companies and partly due to the challenges of COVID. Unilever is experimenting with staff in New Zealand giving them a chance to cut their hours by 20%. And the crucial thing here was people got paid the same amount of money. So they're yes. still getting the same salary and the same amount of money, but they are doing, yeah, they're not coming in for 5 days. But yeah, I think if you can sort of squeeze it in, if people are being just as productive, that could if potentially like save that. Money for yeah. the actual company. I always think sort of from the company side of things, oftentimes mm. more so than the sort of working for the company side of things.
Because you're a hard worker, Sharon. You are a badass boss bitch and you work hard. So therefore you'd be like, where's my earnings? Where's my like you'd be literally like
yeah because I'm the one who's hard on people like guys no we've got to do better like no yeah. we need to stay until we get the job done like I am that person so I think there are two sets of people right when it comes to work there are the people who really love what they do and we're lucky not everyone is in that position we really love what we do so we're passionate about it so we want to do it so the 5 days isn't so much of an issue. But then there are people who sort of work to just live, don't which I be, get as well, yeah. and they don't want to yeah. be there. And that's a little more difficult because work takes up so much of your life. So I think we're speaking from a perspective where we are lucky enough to be in a position yeah. where we really, really love what we do, which is why you hear a lot of people giving that advice, you know, just do what you love, like whatever your passion is, go after that. And then it doesn't, and then if you've oftentimes got, doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, and if you've got more time to do your passions with the other hours, but you have to, yeah. I feel like you have to go and do that and make the most of all the time that you've got where you just go and live life to the full. Go get a mountain bike and go and live life.
Exactly. And spend time with the family and all of that good stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. We'll see where it goes. And we'll see a if the UK or the US ever yeah. ever tries if it out. I doubt it.
Imagine that'd be chaos.
Listener letter number two, guys. This one's from Emily. Emily is saying, I've realized over the last year that I have an addiction to online shopping. I have bought Ooh. Really random things from blinds to kitchen utensils, both of which I already had and didn't need. I'm also accumulating a lot of clothes, really prissy dresses though. Do I have a problem or is this okay? Well, if you're calling it an addiction, it sounds like
it's already a problem.
It's already a problem, isn't it? Here are two questions that you should ask yourself. Have I tried to cut back on my shopping online and been unable to, right? If you're not able to, that is a sure sign of a problem. The other one is, do I feel bad or guilty about my shopping habits? It's hard to tell from your letter because one minute you're talking about the blinds that you didn't really need, but then you're talking about the dresses, but they're really pretty though. So you potentially could have a bit of an issue. It's so easy, isn't it? I mean, when I get online and I just don't do it that often. When I get online to shop, yep. oftentimes I end up with things in my basket, in my cart that I don't necessarily need or I didn't go there to buy. But I'm like, oh, actually, this could help I with such it. And such. Or, yeah, exactly. It's just so easy. It's just the click of a button. And
too easy. And it just arrives.
Too easy. And you've already got your credit card programmed in, right? So you don't even have to get swipe. The credit card out and fill out the numbers. You literally just click and there it is. So it's very, very easy. And I think that if you do want to scale back, you need to do a few things. I mean, one, you might not want to shop online and you might want to, unless it's something that's kind of an emergency, I would maybe go back to shopping in person, right? Where you can
emergency
actually
think about pretty it. Dress.
Yes. Exactly, an emergency pretty dress, which we do need from time to time. But now just the whole process of handing over your credit card or handing over the cash is something that at least makes it, you know, adds in more steps and gives you more of a chance to think and stop yourself like, whoa, no, hold on a minute. I don't
need
this.
Parting with money. Yeah, parting with the actual physical.
Handing it over, right. Yeah.
Go into an actual shop. And also, you can't really carry that much. Like, you wouldn't be able to carry blinds and bags of clothes back to the car in one go. And I always think that's a bit of a put off, so you don't buy too much. So I do think you're right to go, like, personal in person to shopping. And also, I've never really been the biggest online shopper, really, because I always get it. It never fits. And then I just never wear it because I just don't know what it looks like in
so
real
true.
Life.
That has happened to me so many times, and or it looks completely different to the way it did on the website, right? And then you can't be bothered. Like, I never send it back. That's my biggest problem.
No,
a lot of people, they have no issue with that. It's like, oh, I'll order both sizes. I'm not sure which one's going to work. I order both and I'll just send one back. I'm not going to get up and go to the post office to send it back.
No.
It's just not going to happen. And then 3 years later, I'll rediscover this item that never fit in the first place or that I didn't like that I paid for anyway. So that's why online shopping, especially when it comes to clothes, isn't the best thing for me. But I do it. It just doesn't always work out for me. Mm-hmm. But what you can do as well is sort of delete that digital credit card information so it's not so easy, right?
Yeah.
Delete it from your computer.
Hide your card so you can't find it when you try to retype it in.
Cut it up. If you really want to go there, if this is something really serious, maybe even talk to some of your family members and tell them what's going on, or your roommate, or if there's someone who lives with you, so they're aware, so they can kind of watch you and get in the way, you know, stage an intervention.
Down your neck.
Exactly.
They could be on your shoulder going, no, don't do it.
Hit that delete button instead of the payment button. So there are various things you can do, but it sounds like you may want to try some of that and reel yourself in just to make sure you don't have an addiction before it is too late.
Yep. Emily, slow down, babe. You've got this. You don't need any more. You've done it. There's us with always the best advice ever. Yay! And please write in and tell us how the advice has gone, because we want to know how it's gone, really, don't we? We need the resolve to see.
We do.
We love it. We love the feedback. Thanks for listening to Loose Lips with Sharon Carpenter and me, Georgie Porter. There's a bonus episode on Friday. Extra Lippy, do not miss it. We'll be back on Tuesday next week.
Yep, subscribe or follow, rate and review. And as Georgie said, we do want to hear from you. So let us know how it went when you took our great, fantastic advice, our worldly advice. And also send us your new dilemmas to looselips@createproductions.com. Also at the Missy Porter, at Sharon Carpenter. And we will see you then, okay? See you on Friday.
See you Friday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.